Welcome to the Taiwanese Diaspora Podcast. This is episode 10. So today I'd like to welcome Tracy to the podcast. We had an incredible two-hour conversation, which I had to edit down to just what we put on the podcast today. So Tracy today will be talking about what it was like for her to be a parachute kid in the 1990s. So I actually hadn't heard of the term parachute kid before. And a parachute kid is defined as an unaccompanied minor sent to an overseas school. So this was something very popular in the 1990s coming out of Taiwan. And towards the end of our conversation, we talk about Tracy's philosophy about raising her kids in a bilingual context. I hope you enjoy our conversation as much as I did.
大家好，欢迎收听台湾人网络广播，
这是第十集。我们今天欢迎 Tracy 来给我们讲她小留学生的回想。她90年代来美国，然后、遇到很多困难，然后她今天就跟我们讲一下她克服这些挑战的过程。
Awesome. Okay, well, there are a lot of things I want to know about, about you.
And it's honestly, it's the first time I've talked about it, and I've never been interviewed for a podcast before. So I think it's amazing. You know, everybody kind of have their own story. And, I'm willing to share mine and look forward to hearing what you think after you hear my story. But I just think what you're doing, this is really cool. It's for yourself. And you're really helping people. I think like you're really, you know, doing something here because I don't think anybody's doing stuff like this.
Well, thank you, Tracy. I really appreciate that. And we were talking offline about some of the reasons why I wanted to do a podcast project. And I think maybe someday I will make a recording for everybody as well. Cool. Well, Tracy, let me formally welcome you to the podcast. Thank you for joining me today. And I'm really excited to talk with you.
Hi, Cynthia. Thank you for having me. And thank you for doing this project to give me an opportunity to talk about my story. My name is Tracy. 打给后外名字外名是简玉荣。大家好，大家你们可以叫我简玉荣，或是叫我 Tracy 都可以。然后我是10岁的时候来美国，我是那个时候就是大概是1993年的小留学生。I was a parachute kid. My parents put me with she had like a informal host family arrangement with a family friend, and when I was 10, she.Arranged that my sister and I, who was 17 at the time, stay at a family friend's house.
Wow, so many questions. 你那时候来的时候是你自愿来的，还是你父母想说你先来上学，然后再回去台湾，或是我他们是怎么想安排？
那个时候其实我那个时候才10岁，也蛮小的。那在那个年代。蛮流行就是说把小孩放到国外去念书，那如果是在国外念到一个学位的话，像是回台湾就是可能会找到比较好的工作，又或者如果可以移民美国的话，就是在那个年代会觉得说很棒，就是可以有更好的发展。那会选美国应该是因为他那个时候他的朋友蛮多人都有，就是可能比较常听到来美国，然后那时候刚好有一个朋友，他的朋友一个阿姨，那他们刚好在 Irvine 在加州这边就是有一个房子，那就是他小时候我们家住离他那里也很近，那就是等于说他也蛮熟悉我长大，看我长大这样子，所以就这样就选了来加州了。
So you said this is called a parachute kidSo what was it like when you first came to the U.S.? Did you prepare? Did you learn English in Taiwan first before you came?
I had like a year of very informal, 就是那种补习班，美语补习班啊，然后就是可能上了几个月这样。那个时候我才就是其实也没有学到很好，很简单的几个单词 ，like all I know was she, he, I, you, like very minimal, like basically like zero vocabs.I know that I'm going to the U.S. to live there and stay there, but I think my parents were, at the time, they were also going through a very tough time in their marriage. I don't think it was a very wise decision they made. And then my sister was 17, so 在台湾那个年代就是有很多升学的压力，会很难进大学，因为在93年那个时候台湾大学很少。所以要进去大学是很竞争的，那个时候一方面也觉得说他可以不要有升学的压力，那就是我好像是叫大考，我其实不太记得，但是那个因为是大概不知道几年后台湾就是开始就是变了好多大学，那 and then became very easy to go to get a college degree, so this is before that happened, 所以好的大学是没有几间。然后我姐姐是蛮会念书的，她是喜欢念书的那种小孩，那我爸妈就是问她想不想来美国念书，那她就说她想，所以她来，然后可能我妈就觉得说就是我就一起来，因为我还小，可以一起来这样。
所以 你们两个是同时来？
我姐姐其实先来半年，然后她就是1993年她是一月来的，然后她先住也是一个阿姨家，那个时候蛮多这种小留学生，那有时候就会住在亲戚家。那我们的 case 是比较算比较 extreme 一点，算是那种 family friend。 其实我姐姐那时候更辛苦一点，因为她来一月的那个时候，我们的那个 family friend 她的房子其实还没有 in escrow, 所以她去住了一个那个阿姨的 family friend 家。
哦，所以
就是基本上就是陌生人了。
嗯哼哼，
对，所以他去，但是不过他去的话，那个人家里也是有跟他年纪一样的小孩，然后他们就一起去上 high school. So she did that for about 6 months, and then I came in the summer of 1993. 然后我们就住在我妈妈的这个 family friend 家。那其实那个时候我是称她为干妈，干妈就是有点像 godmother, 就是比较听起来比较亲啦，可是其实我们就是没有认识到那么久，不过他小时候就是蛮疼我的，可是后来住久了就遇到一些，毕竟不是自己的亲戚啊，或者是连自己的家人一般有时候都会有摩擦，更不要说是这种比较没有很深厚关系的一些朋友，所以住一住就是我们觉得不是很就没有很自在，对，所以我们后来就没有住很久，我们就搬开。然后刚来美国的时候，那个时候就是我十岁，所以要去上四年级 ，fourth grade。And then 然后那个时候有
so young,
yeah, I know ten years old, fourth grade, and then the elementary school was within like a walking distance somewhat. I felt like it was very long and far at the time. It's a few blocks down.And they had an ESL program. So at least it felt a little comforting that I'm not the only person who doesn't speak English. So I did that for a year. And then because of budget cuts, they cut the ESL program. So by fifth grade, the starting of the second year I'm in US, I was put into a regular class with a bunch of fifth graders. So that was like really challenging for me.And really scary too. and I was really worried, 就很怕说会听不懂他们在讲什么，然后 like not being able to converse right away and respond to what they're saying. Because at that time in Irvine, there wasn't really a lot of Asian immigrants. This was even before 99 Ranch was open in Irvine at the time. And 99 Ranch is a big Asian grocer here in California. So at that time, the closest one we can drive to was about 40 minutes away from where there was not a lot of Asian population in Irvine. I can say like pretty much close to zero. Like I'm the only, you know, the ESL kids, that was in that class were like the only ones. And in that, there were like Japanese kids, some of them from Korea, and then there's, I think, people from, like, kids from Iran. But I think most of them were like older than me. And a lot of them went to a different school because the other school may have kept the ESL program. So there was only two kids that I knew stayed at the school, but they were not in my class.
So what was it like? 你那时候有没有已经交到朋友了？或是他们有没有欢迎你到他们的团体啊，或是 group or those little elementary school groups that get formed?
So basically, no. It was a very challenging time of my life. It's pretty traumatizing, actually. So in the ESL class, there was like 2 to 3 kids that I know, but they're not in my grade. And they didn't live right next to my house. Like, they're not on my street. And then at the time, my sister was only 17 years old. So it's not like, or 18 years old. So she's not driving yet. And my host family wasn't actively having play dates, so to speak. Now that I'm a parent, I know how important it is to have play dates and you build this relationship with these parents that your kids might go to the same school with. So I didn't really have any of that. And as much as the kids like to play together, it's hard to connect if you're not seeing each other after school. So no, it was very challenging. Like, so there were like two to three kids that I would meet up with in the playground during recess. But when I'm in class, which is most of the time in fifth grade, I didn't know anybody. And so it was very scary. And I'm often like really sad. Like, I would go home and feel just really terrible. And yeah, just really try. And that made me really want to master the language. And I remember going to the library and getting a lot of books. And I just told myself, you know, I'm just going to figure it out. Like, I'm going to learn how to write. I'm going to learn how to read. And I'm going to learn how to speak like an American. That was like my big goal when I was 11 years old.
So what did you read? And how did you journal? Like, what was your process?
You know, I just got a lot of storybooks. I started with, I remember just sort of trial and error. I remember going to the kids section and getting books that I would like flip the books open. Well, I go for the smaller books. I'm not going to go for the really thick books, but I go for the small books and I would open a few pages and I try to read a couple sentences and I'm like, oh, okay. If I felt like I can read about 50% of the words, then I felt pretty good and I would borrow it. And I would go home and I have like a dictionary. 那个时候有那种那个叫什么电子字典。
Oh, 对，我记得我有用过。
Yeah, it was big at the time. And they were very expensive too. And they always come out with new models every year. Because they put more and more vocabularies in there. So 就用电子字典，然后就查。And then, yeah, I can't write on the books because these are like library books. I can't make notes.But I remember I would like write down words that I didn't know on a piece of paper. And I would write down the Chinese meaning of it. And I just like try to push myself to read every sentence, like understand what every word means. And then try to figure out grammatically, okay, so I think that's what they meant. So I did a lot of like self-reading. Like I'm pretty amazed at like what I did.
That's so incredible.If you left Taiwan when you were in, what, third or fourth grade?
I finished third grade, so I came here to start my fourth grade.
So, like, in Taiwan, are they fluent in writing and reading by the time they're in third grade?
No, they're still, well, they know a few Chinese characters, you know, they, 爸爸妈妈这种已经学完了 and then you'll be learning to read Mandarin characters.And you'll be expected to write a few. Like, I think you can write a sentence. You can write sentences in it with the amount of... So you'll be learning a little bit about grammar, how to construct a sentence based on the vocabulary you would have at the time. But I was an early reader, I remember. I enjoyed reading. I have two older sisters, and they were 7 and 8 years older than me. So I think when I was little, aspire to, you know, do everything they do. And I want to be able to read. I'm always trying to be more mature. I want to grow up faster, so to speak. And my dad likes to read newspapers, so I would try to figure out what the words mean on a newspaper. I would try to sound out the words with Bopo Mofo. They would have a kid section in the newspaper, 会有一个儿童版，然后那边的字那种故事就是会有 Bopo Mofo。那所以其实你会念 Bopo Mofo， 你就可以发音嘛。
嗯哼哼，
对。然后就是会试着去认那个字。所以在台湾 ，I knew like quite a bit of. I have a good vocab. Yeah.
哦，好能干哦。
谢谢。呀、yeah, ，小时候很努力，可是就是那个时候，我觉得资源就是有一点少，蛮可惜的。
那你在这里后来是怎么跟你父母联络
？Oh yeah, so that was before the internet era.
Yeah,
this is before phone call. This is before like Skype and you know before even there was phone cards.
Yeah.
I think in the 2000s, that's when those fiber optic phone cards became very popular. I think all Taiwanese Americans know about those. You know, that's the one you buy a car for $20 and you
scratch off.
Yeah, you have to
put like 20 like numbers.
Yeah, you scratch in the, yeah, you key in the code and then you get to key in the number you're calling. So this is before all of that. This is in the 90s. And the only way to call is using a landline. 那个时候的电话公司叫好像是 MCI 吧。
对，我记得。
你记得？ Yes.
记得，记得。
So you have to call with them. And from what I was told, it was very expensive at the time. I was 10, so I'm not writing checks or paying the bills. But I was just told it was very expensive. So we rarely talked to my mom. We would talk like once a week for a couple of minutes. And I remember it would be...I would get very limited time. Mostly my mom wanted to talk to my sister because it probably something more concerning the day-to-day tasks. Like if she needs her to do some bank errands or certain things that she wants her to take care of, she's the one that can do that, not me. And my mom rarely spent time asking me like how your day was at school. You know, she would, 她电话上就是会讲说你要好好读书哦，今天有没有好好读书，有没有多背一点英文单字。然后就是说住人家家要听话哦，要乖哦，不可以乱跑哦什么，然后晚上要睡觉哦，不可以去吵姐姐哦。It's just always these kind of
很面熟的
全部就是都是在提醒，对，然后其实他是关心，因为他怕就是说小孩子自己在外面。可是对于那个时候的小孩子十岁，其实比较想就是可能跟妈妈分享自己发生的事，或是有什么伤心的事或快乐的事，都会想跟妈妈分享。但是就我小时候就没有那个机会，然后他们就会说：“哦，你有很多话要讲的话，不要在电话上讲，因为电话费很贵。所以你如果有什么故事或者很长的事情要跟我讲，你就写信。”那那个时候我就觉得好，那我就写信吧。然后就又不能写英文，他看不懂，所以就会写中文。那中文的 vocab 也是很有限啊，因为才十岁就没有在上中文课。那但是至少文法之类的比较已经有一个概念，那就会查字典，又是查字典，可是查中文字典。然后就查中文字典，然后就是想办法写一封信。然后我记得第一次寄了之后，我就觉得等好久好久好久好久，然后好不容易他们收到了，然后又等好久好久好久才收到他们的回信。So later I knew it took about like 2.5 to 3 weeks for them to get my letter. And then if you think about how long it takes them to write those response and send it back to me, that's another 3 weeks later. So between the time I send them a story and I got a response, it's like a month and a half.
Wow.
So yeah, a lot of disconnect. 然后时间就是就在这个中间就是一直在过。You know, it's like you go to sleep and...It's another day when you wake up. 所以那个时候会觉得日子就是过得蛮长。嗯，
那你有没有以前写的故事？你没有在
那些信吗？
对啊，
信我没有留欸，其实我没有留欸。
你记不记得你写的故事是编的故事，还是讲你自己过去的事情？
You know, it's funny you ask that. So I think I remember this one my parents would.They kind of talk about it. 就是因为我那时候来在别人家住的，就是会有一些不开心，然后小孩子可能就觉得受委屈，那我就会写信想要抱怨，就写给、 写给爸妈，因为电话不能讲，那我就写信，然后写信写给他们，就是会讲我的 day to day。 但是后来因为来，就我记得印象写过那么一封，然后后来写些什么，就是会发觉后来就是越写越少，因为实在是等太久了，信件来往的时间实在是太久了，因为在写的当下或许很生气，然后很想要听到他的 response。 那你寄出去，然后等到收到的时候，那个记忆其实已经不太记得了，你知道吗？就一个月多前发生的事情，对
对，
小时候就不会记得了。那后来就变成说 I actually run out of things to write to them at one point, and then I think I would kind of like make up some stuff, and then it become just writing things to make them feel likeI'm doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of telling them like a lot of my day-to-day stuff, because I've kind of learned that it's not, like they won't be able to address it. 就小时候好像就有这种想法。那一段其实跟家人的感情是，就是越来越远。
那你在美国是到哪一年级才觉得有比较 like fit in?
I would say it was, 大概是到十年级 like 10th grade, 就是台中那台湾的高一吧。那个时候
好几年哦。
啊，对，很多年。那个就已经十五岁了 ,so yeah, 5 years, 五年，对。那个时候就有换到 high school, 然后 high school 有一群，那个 high school 就比较多台湾人。然后有一些 ABC, so there's like a group.So it was like nice to be able to see that. It was like a part of me just felt really comforted by that. But by that time though, actually my English was much better than all, you know, all of them. Other than, 就是除了 ABC 啦。但是以就是说比较晚来的台湾人的小孩，就我那个时候英文就会比他们好很多。然后我同时也可以跟 ABC 的朋友聊天。因为我就是中英文就是都还蛮 like I kind of I know the culture and like I talked I the way I speak it kind of sounds more 就是比较不会觉得说很 out of context 那种感觉。
So I have one of my questions was about identity and you just addressed it. If you think about yourself as more American, more Taiwanese, or some kind of combination of both.
Yes. So right now, if I were to answer that, I would say I'm a hybrid. That's what my husband and I kind of call myself. He actually came up with that term. When I say hybrid, I think about the car. I'm not a car. But yes, like we're kind of like merged. You know, there's like a part of us that's very Taiwanese. 我像我回台湾，带小孩回台湾，或是我之前因为工作回台湾的时候，其实如果我不讲，一般是不会有人知道我。都是大多时间都是住在美国，那因为我也是回去嘛，也要讲台语，所以讲台语之后，随便讲几句还可以骗过人啊。我台语没有很标准，可是我听着 OK 的。那就是说，像很多就是我说出去办事啊什么的话，就是人家都不会觉得我是外地人。那像在美国跟外国人讲话的时候，其实我们也可以 ，we're pretty blended in the culture。Although if you dig deeper, you know, like I didn't grow up singing, hearing Itzy Itzy Spiders. I grew up singing like 台湾的那种什么抓泥鳅，很 local 的台湾的那种童谣。所以就是会觉得说跟美国人，虽然说 I understand the way they live and then the way they think, there's still a part like their root, you know, that I don't completely identify with.那跟台湾人在聊天的时候呢，我也是可以 ，I can understand where they're coming from, I understand the way they think, 也可以了解很多传统的想法，然后就说哦，台湾人，那我们坐像什么坐月子，就是我们就是有这些文化，但是一部分我又没有办法完全同意他们的做法，所以其实我会觉得 ，I'm for identity, I think I see myself in the middle, like because I've tried leaning toward one side or the other actually in my life, and I just wasn't really happy because I'm ignoring part of me. There's always a part of me that I'm ignoring when I'm on the other side. Like if I see myself identifying with American culture, there's always a part of me that I'm ignoring. And then when I identify with Taiwanese culture, I know like there's a part of me that I'm ignoring.
So you said you have kids. Are you doing anything special as you raise them in the bicultural context?
Yes. So I, that's an interesting question because it kind of ties in with the previous question. So as me, as a mother, go through this identity searching process, it affects how I parent my child. When I first had my daughter, she's 5 now. When I first had her, I had an expectation, like I had it in my head that I'm going to raise her a certain way. That was a part of my time where I identified a lot more with the American culture. And I thought, you know, I'm going to raise her respecting the way she is. I'm going to give her choices. You know, I'm going to encourage critical thinking. And I think a lot of Taiwanese people will, they will understand this part. It's like, if she thinks she's not cold, I'm not going to force her to put a jacket on her. and, you know, let her wear tank tops in the wintertime as an example. So I thought I was going to raise her that way. And I did for about 2 years. And then something changed. And I just realized I am not comfortable with myself. Some of these ideals I have, I don't completely agree with it. And it's because that was not how I'm raised. And when I've learned that as you become a mother, people tend to look back to how they were parented as a reference. That was their model. So I find myself going back, you know, searching in my memory bank, thinking about how my parents raised me, things they would say. And obviously, you know, they're not going to let me wear a tank top in the wintertime. Like, no Taiwanese family would do that ever. so I realized, oh my gosh, like I have to find a middle ground, you know, like what do we do? You know, who are we? Like, what kind of traditions do I want for a family? So what I've decided to do recently, now that my second child is 2, we've actually started to take these annual trips to Taiwan, annual or biannual trips to Taiwan. And I've actually started to connect a lot more with my parents. I do want to embrace what they bring because that is a part of me. I don't want to ignore it. Like, I don't want to, you know, put it in a bag and just throw it out the door. I want to embrace that part. And I also want my children to be fluent in Mandarin. I've decided that is going to be a big part of my family because I can't, 我觉得我会没有办法说以后他长大就是很ABC, 然后我没有办法跟他share一些 common ideal. Mm-hmm. I realize that it's not something I'm okay with. Now, whether that's good for them or not, that's up for debate because, you know, everybody has different perspectives on that. You know, of course, encouraging Western thinking can be very beneficial. It encourages independence, you know, it really helps them have self-development, like self-confidence, like a lot of good things. But ultimately, it has to be okay with me. And I don't want to, I was like picturing myself, like if I was 60 years old, you know, 70 years old, and then my daughter is like 30, and she would treat me a certain way, more of like a Western family style. I just don't think I'm okay with that. And I don't want that. So I'm trying to embrace my parents more, to be closer to them, to sort of demonstrate for my daughter that, you know, this is what we do. And having her learn Mandarin and understanding the culture, because a lot of times when you learn the language, it's important that you learn the culture too. So she doesn't just speak the language, but not understand the context of it. I want her to know the culture, and which is why it would be important that we have these annual visits to Taiwan, because she can really get an idea of the culture and understand why people say certain things. 就是说，嗯，就亚洲人说会觉得比较唠叨啊，或什么。可是其实他们是，他们其实是关心。 That's the only way they know how to care for you, because that's how they were raised. That's the Asian thinking model. So I'm hoping this will help. As she grows up, you know, she'll be able to embrace this identity that she has, which is like a hybrid too. Maybe a little bit toned down because she is born here and she's probably going to spend most of her time here, at least her school years. She'll spend most of her time here in the U.S., but I don't want her to be confused, you know, and actually I've seen that in her. We'll use chopsticks at home because I do cook a lot of Taiwanese food. And while we do enjoy other ethnic food and, you know, Italian, American, Mexican, we make tacos and eat spaghettis and like we do all of that in Japanese food, like we eat sushi, like we love all of that. But I would say 80% of what we eat at home is Taiwanese food, like Chinese food, rice and noodles. And so we use chopsticks. And there was that one point where she felt really funny using chopsticks, and she doesn't understand why her friends doesn't know how to use the chopstick. When they're little like that, they just want to be like their friends. It's hard to explain the idea of we do things a little bit different than other people because of certain reasons. It's very difficult for them to understand at this age.
What do you say to her at that point? Do you say, oh, 你是中国人, 所以,
Yeah, like I have actually said that to her. I think I said, I said because we're Taiwanese and then we eat Taiwanese food, and when you eat Taiwanese food, we use chopsticks. And she said, she actually told me, she was like 4, I think. She said, Mommy, I'm not Taiwanese. I'm American. And it just, I don't know how you felt when I say that, when you hear me say that, but I know my heart kind of sunk a little.
I remember distinctly actually growing up, probably around the same age as your daughter. I went to Taiwan maybe when I was 8. My relatives would be like, oh, 你是台湾人还是美国人? You know, like, and I had to like choose. It always felt really awkward because passport-wise, I'm American, but culturally, I guess I'm Taiwanese, right? So it's interesting that your daughter also.
Yeah, so she. That's when I learned that, oh, she's actually identifying herself as American at this such young age. Like, I had no idea because, you know, I didn't grow up being an ABC. I've clearly identified myself as Taiwanese when I came at 10. You know, no way am I going to think I'm American because I don't speak the language at all. So I was really surprised that, like, wow, so this is her world. This is what I'm giving her. And then that's when it really made me think, actually, yeah, this is when she just turned 4. So this was like about a year and a half, like almost 2 years ago. That's what made me think about what I have been doing and if I'm okay, keep doing what I was doing. If she continued down this path, so she might, you know, I'm already thinking like she'll be 16 years old and she's saying she's American. I'm 35 right now, almost 35. I'm probably not gonna identify myself as American anytime soon. So I don't want my daughter to identify herself as American when I identify myself as a different nationality. I mean, I don't know, maybe some people are okay with it, but for some reason the idea didn't sit well with me. So I thought, you know, I need to give her a fair chance. I need to let her experience the culture. And so when she grows up, she'll have the tools and the resources to decide, you know, what she identifies with. I want her to experience Taiwan like I did. I want her to feel like that's her home too, if she chooses it to be.
Are you doing anything specific when you go back to Taiwan to get her? Because Taiwan's changed a lot in the last 3 decades as well.
That's
right. Going to visit when I was little versus now, it's so different.
It is very different. And now with internet, you know, things are moving at a much faster pace. They're taking on a more international, like a global view. 我爸妈以前是住台北，但是他们几年前因为台北的房子就老了，旧了，然后要爬四楼，就是那种老公寓，然后要走到四楼，所以每天这样上下四楼，买菜什么都要这样拿四楼楼梯上去，就很对膝盖就是。 就很累，所以他们就搬到台中，换了有那种电梯的公寓，like those apartments. And so, 现在我们回去，我们就会住台中。那我渐渐发觉，本来刚搬，我也是想说，哇，天哪，搬到台中好像很乡下一样，就是比较没有那么的international，或是比较 modern 吧。对，可是这三年其实台中也改变非常多。 And they're actually starting to come up with some options. 就是说，然后我看很多东西都是他们台北有，现在看到一半，可能就是台北有，台中也会有。当然，还有一些可能比较 exclusive 的，还是 mostly in Taipei. But I'm just happy that they're starting to have some in Taichung. I've looked at summer camps, And they have these mommy and me cooking classes, mommy and me dancing classes, music classes. So they actually have all of that even in Taichung.
But is it targeted for overseas Taiwanese?
No, they're for the locals.
Wow.
So the new generation, they, because of internet, I think, information is so readily available. There's a lot of info from the world. Like, they know what's trendy now, what the trend is. And then also Taiwan has a lot of ABCs, or people who have came to get a degree in the US and then they go back, you know. So there's also a lot of that has been going on in the last decade. 所以台湾我觉得现在新一代年轻一代就是也蛮多人有一些出过国啊，然后就是有接触过不同的 culture， 然后 they try to bring a little bit back, like to kind of adapt what the locals can be comfortable with, and then they're coming up with a lot of new things now that are 觉得就还蛮有潜力的啦。当然台湾就是还是有一些比较硬体上的问题，像人家就会说什么空气不好，然后就是人口比较拥挤啊，这种就是在美国就会比较宽敞了， you know, we have 就什么东西 super size, 就是房子比较大，车子比较大，路比较宽，
对，
对，可是我觉得台湾现在也是变蛮多的，所以我们带小孩子，现在去年我带他们回去就把他们放在 daycare, 所以他们就跟其他 local 的小朋友一起上课，那就学中文，
哇、
uh-huh, 然后就是会玩一些台湾玩的游戏，像学什么跳绳啊，因为台湾小孩子蛮喜欢玩跳绳的，那这边 like at least here in the schools, like they don't teach you how to play. Not that they don't play, like they don't teach you how to play. 然后在台湾，他们就去他说：“妈咪，我们今天跳绳。”我说：“哇，跳绳蛮好的啊。” And then I remember like, oh, I did that when I was little. So they're kind of immersed in the culture, and you know, I'm encouraging her to make friends in the class too. So I would hope for the goal is like maybe 她未来在台湾也可以有朋友啊，然后就是固定如果回台湾都可以见面。然后我姐姐，我有两个姐姐，一个姐姐在美国，一个姐姐是住在台中，离我妈妈很近。那我姐姐在台湾的，在台中的姐姐有一个儿子， he's the same age as my daughter. It's been kind of nice that they're in the same age and then kind of hang out, even though boys and girls don't necessarily enjoy the same things all the time. But it's nice for her to know like, oh, I have a cousin.And then she knows that like, oh, he doesn't speak English at all. Like at first it was hard for her to grasp. And then I was trying to explain to her like, yes, see, so you know both languages. Now, isn't that amazing? Now you can converse with more people, even who don't speak English, and you get to find out and be friends with them. Like you'll have so much more opportunities for life experiences, you know, meeting new people.And she's starting to be more comfortable with that. Actually, a year ago, she was not very comfortable with it. She didn't like the fact that she knew Chinese. Like, we speak Mandarin at home, and nobody did at school.
I love this. This is so great.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I don't know if this will stick around, or maybe it's an age thing. Like, I could be wrong. There might be people listening, and then they're saying, like, oh, it's only because she's so little. But, you know, like, it was...challenging. Like last year she wanted to do Spanish. She was like, my friend's learning Spanish, why am I not learning Spanish, you know? And I'm like, well, you could always learn Spanish at a different time. It's just right now you're learning Mandarin Chinese, and you can always pick up Spanish. I'm not saying you can't, but that's just not what we're doing right now. And she gets to embrace the idea that like, wow, you know, there's different parts of the world, people speak different languages, and then they eat different food, whereas her friendwho is just all American, she'll never be able to experience that. Like, that's just not the kind of environment she'll grow up with. And I don't want my daughter to be like that, especially my husband being Taiwanese. So 我们两个的小孩看起来就是很亚洲人。然后他如果长大还觉得说，你知道吗？没有办法 find out 自己到底是美国人还是台湾人，就是 I don't want her to, you know, I don't want that to be something she should need to struggle with.I think that's something I can do for her right now.
That's great. Do you think the parachute kid is still a common phenomenon now?
You know, I actually Googled it the other day because we're doing this podcast. And it is, except that now a lot of them are coming from China. For Taiwanese people, I think they don't really send their kids here anymore. But a lot of families in China do. and they'll be here to study, like they'll be here for high school or college. So I think they still do that right now. It's actually more common now, like people kind of, it's not so much like a hush-hush thing like it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like illegal in a way, you know, in the 90s, like they don't have policies or proper ways of like legally properly handle the situation of a parachute kid, you know, like who's their legal guardian, like are they being careful properly, like things like that. In the 90s, it just wasn't even something on the radar. So people don't talk about it. But now I know a lot of schools are very familiar with taking international students. That's what they're called. Like they're international students.
Even at public schools, or is it just boarding school sort of thing?
So mostly boarding schools. It's a lot easier at boarding schools, not at public schools. A lot of the boarding schools are like private middle school, high schools, mm-hmm. and colleges too. But at that time, I guess they're not really called parachute kids. They're not kids anymore.
Wow. Thank you so much, Tracy. This is really fun. Thank you for being available and willing to talk.
Yes. Yeah, you're welcome. I think it's really cool. Yeah, I had a lot of fun too. I'm glad that you're doing it. So it gives me an opportunity to talk. So I think I can talk a lot more about this. Thanks for listening and asking all these good questions.
Well, let's talk again soon. We can do another episode about all the homeopathic, alternative, holistic health stuff as well.
Okay, sure.
真的很感谢哦，谢谢。
谢谢，谢谢。
Really cool, 可以听你的故事。
So Tracy, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. One of the key takeaways that registered with me is that, you know, parents, especially Asian parents, think a lot about providing for their children's physical comforts and needs and providing for their future. And that primarily means education opportunities. But one thing you highlighted in your story is the importance of emotional support as well. And so I hope parents who are listening will also take that into account. And that's it for today. If you like what you heard, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And please send me a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at TWDIASPORA, or shoot me an email. It's hello@TaiwaneseDiaspora.com. And if you or other people you know have stories that they'd like to share on this podcast, please send them my way as well. All right, see you next time.